Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time here in Rancho Cucamonga. But maybe you can't join us in person, but you could join us on our live stream. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream and join us in worship, fellowship. You can write up your prayers or just fellowship chat. Our prayer is that we will all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We've been looking at some of the first words that Jesus spoke after his resurrection from the dead. A few weeks ago, we looked at Matthew chapter 28, 16 to 20, the Great Commission. We will look back on these verses again in a week or so. But what a great day to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, and to reflect on her last words recorded in the Bible. Of course, we know that she spoke many words and did many wonderful works of sharing in God's love for Jesus. So let's take a look at what it says here in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Before we go to God's word, let us pray. Before, Lord, we just come and we ask, Lord God of heaven and earth, we come humbly seeking to hear your voice. Speak to us. Speak to us once again of your great love. Speak to us once again of your wonderful kindness. Speak to us again of your mighty mercy. May our hearts and minds be open to your living word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grab your Bible, John chapter 2, 1 through 11. If you don't have a Bible, we would gladly send you a Bible. We have a man in the church that's bought cases of the one-year Bible, and we will mail you one. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and I'll get you one. John chapter 2, 1 through 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Canaan in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from nearly 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Canaan in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. John chapter 2, 1 through 11. The first miracle recorded in the Gospel of John. In Isaiah 9:6, we have a description of Jesus the Messiah. We are told that the government will be on his shoulders. We are told that Jesus is the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Talk about a powerful passage filled with hope. Who here would like to have Jesus as your counselor? Jesus is not just a counselor, but he's a wonderful counselor. Do you know that moms and dads, mostly moms, I would say, can give and have given us some pretty awesome counsel? I recently came across a list of great advice we get from our moms on the internet. This is just a funny little thing, but I thought it was good. If you open it, close it. If you turn it on, turn it off. If you take it out, put it back. If you empty it, fill it. If you fill it, empty it. Make sure you always have your own money. Do not take a bath when there's a thunderstorm. Do not eat yellow snow. I grew up in the snow country. That is so true. Never ride a motorcycle. Put on a clean underwear. Wash behind your ears. Brush your teeth. Do not run with scissors in your hand. And don't swim with a full stomach. I don't know if your mom gave you any of that advice, but I know my mom. I've heard that before. The late Irma Bombeck once wrote, "When your mother asks you if you want a piece of advice, it is just a formality. It does not matter if you answer yes or no. You're going to get it anyway." Well, let's look at chapter 2 of John for just a few moments. This is the first miracle that Jesus would perform. We could spend a lot of time looking at the miracle and what it means in light of Jesus. Have you ever stopped to think about those servants at the wedding? They get advice from Jesus' mom. Do you notice that they didn't ask for it, but they got it anyway? I am so glad they did, because it really is the best advice any mother can give. In the New American Standard Bible translation, it's 7 little words. Whatever he says to you, do it. In our reading today, in that New International Version, the NIV, which I read to you, is only 5 words. Do whatever he tells you. In the original Greek, it is 6 words, and when translated literally from the Greek to English, it says, whatever he tells you, do. Whatever he tells you, do. Well, I'd like to take a few moments on this day and take a look at those words. This advice here is probably the best advice, well, any mother could give. Do whatever Jesus tells you. I'm going to say that again. This is probably the best advice any mother or any person could give you. Do whatever Jesus tells you. Whatever. Think of that word, whatever. I know many have used that as a slang when asked to do something. Whatever, and shrug your shoulders and walk away. When I was pastoring a church in Texas, some of my friends knew had this little saying, do it. I'll get around to it. I'll get around to it. I finally one day asked one of my friends at the church, do it, or I'll get around to it. What does it mean? And he smiled at me and he says, absolutely nothing. Mary tells the servants, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Have you ever thought about the scope, the scale, the possibilities, the potentials, the prospects, the options and opportunities, whatever? In the Greek, the word whatever is actually 3 words translated into 1 word. It is a relative pronoun that means anyone, anything, who, what, whoever, whichever, and whatever. This is it's an all-inclusive word that says whatever, whenever, whoever, anyone, and anything. This is the same word used when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in the middle of the night in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. That is the same word Jesus spoke to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. John 4:14. Maybe a good so what question for right now. We pause and ponder. So what? What do all these ancient words mean to me? So what? What does whatever mean? Whatever is Jesus asking you to do? That's the question of the day. Whatever is Jesus asking you to do? Did you notice that the servants did exactly what Mary told them to do? They did not hesitate or make excuses or look for someone else to do the work. They did not ask, why me? They did not say, that sounds like a crazy thing to do. We need to remember that there have been no miracles done by Jesus yet in the Gospel of John. The blind have not been given their sight back. The lame and paralyzed have not been healed. The lepers have not been made clean. There's been no multiplication of fish and bread to feed thousands, no walking on water or storms stopped. no demon possession and deliverances. These people have not seen any resurrections from the dead. But here we are at a family wedding celebration. Do whatever he tells you to do. These humble servants are asked to simply obey. But what a strange request. There's no wine, but go and fill these 6 stone jars that hold 20 to 30 gallons up to the brim with water. Did you know that 1 gallon of water was 8.34 pounds? Let's do a little quick math. 20 gallons of water would weigh, well, roughly about 166.8 pounds. Fast to carry it, maybe, they're asking to be carrying about 1,500 pounds of water. Can you imagine what these servants were being asked to do? But if you think about it, this is not the first time God has given some unusual instructions. Go back to Moses, who tells the people to put the blood of the lamb on their doorpost. Or Naaman, who was told by Elisha to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Joshua told the priest to take up the Ark of the Covenant and step into the Jordan at flood stage. Joshua was instructed to march around the walls of Jericho for 6 days without shouting or making a sound. Then on the 7th day, walk around the city 7 times, and at the last time around, shout and blow the trumpets. Rahab was asked to hang a scarlet rope out of her window so that she and her household would be saved. Well, to be honest with you, none of these things would have made much sense to anyone. Truly, it is the same way today. We are called to obey whatever Jesus tells us, even no matter how unusual it seems. So maybe a good so what question as we pause and ponder this passage so far is, what is Jesus asking us to do? Whatever is Jesus asking us to do? You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and our prayer team here at The Seed have seen some wonderful blessings and miracles through prayer. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. Go to our website, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, write your prayers, and our prayer team will pray for you. If you'd like a response, just mark it there on the website. If not, just email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. We want you to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. So, we've been talking about do whatever. He tells you. Did you catch that? He tells you is one of the verbs in that sentence. Of course, it is a present active verb. That means that the action is continuous and never ending. Jesus has not stopped speaking. Have we stopped listening? Notice that he is Jesus. Jesus is, well, he's the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Jesus is our Savior, and we are called to trust him for forgiveness and eternal life. Why do we not trust and obey our Savior in the little things? In 1988, Nike found a secret in 3 simple words. Just do it. And do it they did. The idea promoted their idea, and there were no excuses in life. Just do it. The truth in those Nike advertisers could be, well, accused of plagiarism, I think. You see, their slogan is not original. It did not originate in 1988. In fact, it originated in John chapter 2. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, gave the best advice any mother ever gave, whatever he says to you, just do it. Today's message suggests that we learn to listen to what Jesus is asking us to do and just do it. I would suggest that we learn and listen. Well, listen to our mothers. I'd ask us to listen close to this message of a godly woman and the picture of a godly woman found in Proverbs 31. Let me read it to you. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. A wife or a woman of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies, diamonds, or gold, silver, emeralds, sapphires, garnets, and pearls. You name it. A godly woman is worth more. Her husband or her family has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for the task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grabs the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband and her family are respected at the city gate. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband, and her family also, and they praise her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Growing up, I am sure we all have heard some wonderful words of wisdom from our mothers. In fact, Mother's Day will be coming up in a month or so. Here are a few personal ones I heard from my mom, actually my mom, my grandmother, who raised me. He would say, "Don't make that face or it'll freeze in that position." She said that quite a bit. "Be careful if you will put your," I don't know how many times I was playing with things and she'd say, "Be careful or you'll put your eye out." "What if everyone jumped off a cliff? Would you do it?" "Close the door. Were you born in a barn?" I grew up on a farm a lot, and I heard that a lot. "If you cannot say something nice, don't say anything at all. And don't put that in your mouth. You do not know where it's been." And the best one of all, I heard this so often growing up, "Because I said so." Sometimes, when I would not eat all the food on my plate at my grandmother's house, my grandmother would say, "Your eyes are like a pelican. They eat more than your belly can." The book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom, and if you want wisdom, a good place to turn is the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, describes a woman of wisdom, a woman of noble character. What I found fascinating in my study of this passage is that the 22 verses were written as an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet. The first verse begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and goes through the 22 letters of the alphabet. This proverb was used to teach the young children their alphabet and possibly to describe the qualities of what a young man would look for in a young woman. And for a young woman, these verses would be the ideal she would strive for. The picture of the woman's role here is striking. The woman, like the man, is expected to use all her abilities. The woman, like the man, is a worker, manager, buyer, and seller. She is as much in business as her husband, and she uses all the mental and intellectual capacities that make for success. This portrait is of an ideal woman, one who desires godly character, an efficient homemaker, a loving helper to her husband, a wise mother, and a compassionate community leader with talents and abilities, a woman worthy of honor and praise. This is a fitting conclusion to the collection of Proverbs in that it offers an illustration of one who has mastered wisdom. "A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised." This is the secret of her life. She fears God and seeks to obey His word. You know that there was a resolution on May 8, 1914, the U.S. Congress established the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. Congress specified that on that day, American flags would be flown outside homes and government buildings, quote, "as a public expression of our love and reverence for mothers of our country," unquote. But what does patriotism have to do with Mother's Day? The founder of Mother's Day, who was Anna Jarvis, saw that connection. Anna was born in Grafton, West Virginia in 1864. Anna witnessed the aftermath of the Civil War. Her mother, Anna Maria Reeves Jarvis, had spent the war years organizing women to nurse wounded soldiers from the North and the South. And after the war, Anna Maria stated, Mother's Friendship Days to reconcile families divided by the conflict. Throughout her life, Anna Maria modeled ideal biblical motherhood. She gave up her dreams of college to tend an older husband and four children. She bore the loss of seven children with grace. She taught Sunday school in the local Methodist church for 20 years and stayed active in benevolent work. Anna Maria's death in 1905 devastated her daughter. 2 years later, her daughter got the idea to establish a holiday to remember her mother and all mothers whom she felt could never be thanked enough. It was also Anna's idea to place Mother's Day near Memorial Day, which had been proclaimed in 1868 in recognition of women's contribution in wartime, sending sons and husbands to fight, tending the wounded, maintaining households alone, and encouraging peace and reconciliation. Memorial Day honored the sacrifices of men. Mother's Day would honor the sacrifices of women. So what? I've rattled on quite a bit. What does all this mean? How do we apply these scriptures to our life? How does God's word from Proverbs, written during Solomon's reign in 950 BC, apply to us today? The preacher G. Campbell Morgan had four sons, all of whom were preachers. The youngest son, Howard, considered a fine preacher, once took his father's place while Dr. Morgan preached in London. Someone asked Howard that day, before he was to preach for his father, this question: "Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family?" Unquote. Without a moment's hesitation, he answered, "My mother." Sometimes men and women who never stand in a pulpit preach the greatest sermons simply through living out the living word in their daily lives. Let me say that again, because you're listening and maybe you don't have an opportunity to teach or preach. Sometimes men and women who never stand in a pulpit preach the greatest sermon simply through living out the living word in their daily lives. Jesus' mother said, "Whatever he says to you, do it." What a powerful sermon of seven words. Whatever he says to you, do it. I'm asking you to pause and ponder that. Whatever Jesus says to you, do it. Wisdom. The book of Proverbs is filled with words of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Well, today, let's think about whatever Jesus asks us to do. Let's have a prayer. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom in all things now and in the days to come. Give us confidence that the future is something never to be feared. Give us wisdom in our work, our travel, our relationships, and our families. Bless us with its discernment to distinguish the truth from a lie. And may we have the contentment, longevity, enjoyment, vitality, riches, and happiness that your word says are for those who find wisdom. And may all of us find protection, grace, rest, and freedom from fear and confidence in you. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know that God loves you. God loves you with an unfailing, inexorable love. And my prayer is that you'll know this love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's the sermon for today. Do whatever he tells you to do. Whatever Jesus says to do, do it. God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace and do whatever Jesus tells you to do. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.